You are listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, Episode 7 for June 2009.
It fell 1,000 years ago, green fire, so hot. A carving and a man and a superman, and his name was Alan Scott. A man without fear, and that's for sure. He got his ring from Offensor. He fought all the evil hordes, and he's the real one, Hal Jordan. Green Lantern! Green Lantern!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. The Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast is sponsored by the Green Lantern Corps, where you can find all the latest news and reviews on everything Green Lantern and talk about it on their forums. Check it out at www.thegreenlanterncorps.com and tell them the Spotlight sent you. I'm your host, Ryan Reed, webmaster of the Green Lantern Spotlight, and now full-fledged speeding ticket driver. We got a great show today with a very wonderful small crew today. I got W. West, the webmaster behind the Speedster site, and Professor Zoom's understudy. How you doing, West?
I'm good.
Of course, Rainer 2814, our fringe specialist. How you doing, Ray?
Loving the series. Cannot wait for more Leonard Nimoy.
Exactly. And finally, good old Muzar, the man you can't kill because he has no life. How you doing, Mew?
Some of us can't help our zombie conditions.
It is not a choice. It is a life.
Except, I am an undead American.
That's why we have Captain America Reborn now. All right. Well, we got a small little show here, so as always, we'll go into the news. Can I get a news playoff, guys? No one?
Yeah.
There we go. That's all I need. All right. Well, speaking from the San Diego Comic-Con for 2009, the Blackest Night invades the Comic-Con. Green Lantern fans, listen up. DC is going to be offering a very limited item this July at the 2009 San Diego Comic-Con. For the first time, fans will be able to collect the Hal Jordan not only as a Green Lantern, but as a member of the Red, Orange, Blue, and Yellow Corps as well. Interested? We thought you might be. The most important details are these. You can only get these items during the San Diego Comic-Con, and supplies are extremely limited. Fans will be able to line up at the Graffiti Designs booth, which is number 2315, for those who are going to the San Diego Comic-Con, for these rare collectibles starting on Wednesday, July 22nd. But there's a catch. You have to visit the booth each and every day for the last color. Each customer can only buy two for each figure, so limited two, folks. Pretty much on Wednesday, which is preview night, July 22nd, 6 p.m., you can grab Hal Jordan Green Lantern. There's only 3,000 pieces available. Thursday, you can grab the Yellow or Sinestro Corps Hal Jordan, with there's only 1,500 pieces available. Friday 24th is Blue Lantern, with 1,500 pieces available. Saturday is Orange Lantern Hal Jordan, with 1,500. And finally, Sunday, July 26th at 10 a.m. is the Red Lantern Hal Jordan. They will also be collected in a piece set, but those are only going to be the special drawing. Each figure comes with their own lantern and wearable power ring, custom for each corps. Each figure is available starting its respective day and will continue to be on sale until they are sold out. What do you think of that there, West?
I think they look pretty good. Hal's wearing the suit that he's never worn before with the Sinestro Corps. Other than that, I mean, if I was a figure guy, I'd probably get a couple, but I'm not, so I'm not too excited, but they look nice.
What about you there, Mew?
Well, considering I can never go to this, it's kind of pointless for me, but the thing I want to see is, I want to see Hippie Lantern Hal. Where's that? Where's our Compassion Hal? Our Hal in a pimp suit? Spread the love.
The difference between you and me, I want to see scantily cladded Hal, you know, in this sci-fi uniform.
You want to see Drag Queen Hal?
Damn right I do!
Oh, very nice. Well, I also won't be getting a hold of these, and we all know they'll be going for like $40 off eBay. Otherwise, I'd love to take the orange and blue and red Hal Jordan there. I do like the Sinestro Corps one, and the green one's always great. So,
the funny thing is, like, we've already seen them in like figures. I mean, in the comics in the first place, such as, you know, Red Lantern Hal, Orange Lantern Cover Hal. And then that one stupid Bizarro Lantern, Yellow Lantern Hal. So it's all been done just in comics.
Right.
He looks constipated on the figures.
Well, they'll make their money back, that's for sure.
Where's my zombie Hal?
I know, where is zombie Hal?
Or at least a severed hand.
Speaking of figurines, there's now the Justice League Classified figurines, where you can get which will be coming out here shortly. You got Kyle Rayner, Arthur, better known as Aquaman with the hook hand and long hair. We have Electric Superman and Batgirl.
Yeah.
Ray, as you can tell, is very happy about Electric Superman.
You got the 90s right there.
We're flashing back to the 90s. Depending on how limited these are, I definitely would like to take take all 90s figures, but I'll take Kyle in a second, followed by Electric Eyeliner Superman. What about you there, Ray? Which one would you like to take home with you?
Oh, of course I'm getting the Kyle Rayner one, but
Electric
Superman. I love him. It was the only Superman that everyone like, you know what? He doesn't have a cape. He's completely blue and throws lightning bolts. It's totally 90s. But the Arthur Curry with the hook hand is just funny.
It's just funny.
How about you, Wes? What would you like?
I'd probably go after the Kyle, too. But he's got a fat head.
Like, he does.
So
it's all hair.
In the head. Yeah, I mean, you need tone down the head muscles, and maybe I'll go after it. But I'm not too big of a figure guy, so I'll probably pass on them all. Oh, and Batgirl, I'll never buy into. I don't like her comic, but I'm damn sure not about to get her in the figure.
West has spoken. Mew, I know you're poor. Which one would you like to hide under your Christmas tree this winter?
Well, I've had no utter experience in the 90s comics whatsoever, but... I haven't gone on that. Maybe like get an Aquaman, like make some fake dolphin on his spear to make it look like he's just going harpooning whales. get a Superman blue, paint him red.
Oh man.
And the Kyle Rayner, of course, but
right.
With the Kyle Rayner one, he kind of looks like he's been drawn by Rob Liefeld.
Oh,
all the extreme bulging muscles that just don't fit him at all.
See, the funny thing is, it's not so much Rob Liefeld, but Ed McGuinness.
It's steroids.
Remember, so kids, steroids are bad for you. Look what they do to Kyle Rayner's head.
What it did to his head? That's a real devastation.
I was being kind. All right. Well, moving away for action figures, we have an update on the Green Lantern movie straight from screenwriter Mark Guggenheim himself. He recently talked to Sci-Fi Wire. Basically, I'm delivering another draft today were his last words recently. He said in an interview on last Friday, the film is expected to be directed by Martin Campbell, who stepped in for Berlanti and is slated to begin production in Australia, Fox Studios in Sydney this summer to be released for a June 17th, 2011 release. That is the official release date as of now is June 17th, 2011. Guggenheim did confirm that the script will focus on Hal Jordan based on the Silver Age DC Comics incarnation of the hero, and he will become a member of the Green Lantern Corps. Beyond that, Guggenheim is remaining pretty tight-lipped. You know, I really can't say anything, he said. I've sworn a blunt oath of secrecy in relation to the project, but you know, the thing I can tell you is that it is a very loving and respectful approach. Guggenheim also added the goal here is to do the best cinematic representation of the Green Lantern character. You know, there's no desire on anybody's part to completely change the character and just call this other character Green Lantern and try to draft on another name. It's just not going to work. This is how they will bring the best version of the character to the silver screen. And they will draw heavily a lot of different sources in terms of comic books, from his original origin to Secret Origin to a few other things right now. As for casting for the character, rumors are centered around the Hangover's Bradley Cooper and Star Trek's Chris Pine, but Guggenheim has said they are all false. I mean, they are false so far that we haven't even chosen anyone yet, as in, I wouldn't even write them in a Spider-Man comic. They are so false. The same thing about Pauly Shore being cast as Hal Jordan. It's never going to happen, said Guggenheim. What do you think of that there, Mew?
Oh, God, Pauly Shore.
I'm not kidding. That's what it said.
Who would have thought that was a good idea? Anyone?
I'm quiet on this one.
The 90s were a weird time.
The 90s were a great time.
Yes, they were.
They were.
The 90s were drug-induced. But for the movie casting, it's really tricky to find a real good live-action Hal Jordan that's not too old, too young, or just a bit too out there.
Right.
He's not quite the star-spanning type like Kyle Rayner, where his head's always in the clouds. He's kind of just a down-to-earth guy who just does what he has to do.
Right.
Gotta find the perfect actor for that. Perfection is minimal.
And then some. What about you, West?
I think it's a decent article. I'm kind of worried about the rewrites. Like, from what we read earlier, well, from a few of us read earlier in the previous year, the first draft, it was a simple script, so I expected rewrites, but this is like the seventh draft in the last 7 months, so I'm a little worried that Campbell is either a perfectionist or this movie is never going to get made. And the fact that they're still in negotiations with some of the cast, well, most of the cast, and he's saying that everything is false, that's not a good sign.
We're
a month away from Comic-Con, and I want an announcement.
I know, we all do. What about you, Ray?
I would have loved a teaser, but yeah, that's never going to happen. Yeah. The news is good. I mean, I'm not overly worried about it again. It's all, you know, it's all speculation on my part. What the hell they're doing? I would have loved that. I'm sorry, when you told me that, yeah, they want to be as faithful and true to the character, I'm thinking, man, I want to see Hal Jordan just five, you know, high five and everybody going like, yeah, good job, Air Force.
now punch off your commanding officer. Punch him.
Punch him. Extreme 90s. But yeah. I would love to see a you know, good down-to-earth character, I guess. Someone who can act nonchalant when, you know, ordered to. Or such. But, and again, it's all speculation about that.
We just need someone who will punch bats.
Yeah, there you go. And then, you know, we just need Guy Gardner to the moon him, and we're set. All right. Well, moving away from the news section, we have a little bit going on here. We're going to talk a little bit about Blackest Night. Before we get into the talk about the Black Lanterns, we are going to talk about the current Agent Orange and Emerald Eclipse story arcs are wrapping up the next couple weeks here. So we thought we'd talk about our favorite, least favorite, and jaw-dropping moments for the story arcs. I'm going to start with Agent Orange first. Right now, I'm going to say my most shocking, two shocking moments now for Agent Orange was Lerflees absolutely annihilating the controllers. I mean, I didn't see that coming, them getting all killed like that. And, of course, Hal Jordan getting his arm cut off so Agent Orange could have his Blue Lantern ring. I did not see any of that coming. Really cool moments. I am going to have to go with the origin for Agent Orange, with the Guardians coming in with the Manhunters, just kicking all kinds of ass before Lerflees and his partner kind of killed off a couple members of them and stuff. Least favorite, I wasn't really happy about Parallax being in a box. I know this was before the Guardians were on Oa and the Green Lantern Corps was established, but I just kind of saw that was kind of lame. I did like that Corona was included. But that's really it, and we didn't really get elaborated much on the Orange Lantern. It was just there, so those are kind of my moments right there. What do you think, Ray? What are your, you know, best, worst, and shocking moments for Agent Orange so far?
Man, they are so numerous, but I would say I agree with you with the shocking moment about the controllers being annihilated. You know, right out the box, you know, it was something to see just to happen, but it's somewhat, just because they still haven't explained the full great detail of the orange light, it just makes the controllers lame.
I know, and they made effigy.
which by default makes him lame now.
Exactly.
The whole Hal getting his hand cut off was surprising, but not shocking. The origin of Larf Lees was, well, to get into it, like it's always the trouble of having, you know, such an immersive timeline that you can, like, you know, play around with, but it's just somewhat that, you know, makes you go like, so where were these guys again? And Spider-Girl, what? it just doesn't make sense unless you read everything else Jeff Johns makes, you know, writes about Green Lantern. So right. I don't know. It's just weird. And also the paralyzed thing in the box is just also weird, just because wasn't he inside the battery to begin with?
Yeah.
But the question is, did they really actually have a battery at the beginning when they didn't have a Green Lantern corpse?
Ah, true.
Right. That's why I kind of let it slid.
So why is it a box then?
They just stuck it in the closet and lose it.
I'm expecting them to say Pandora at one point.
Release the evil on the world.
I expected that.
Yeah, me too. That would also kind of like reflect in Wonder Woman and the New Gods too, in a way.
Zeus is the reason it got stolen. He's petty. He's a petty god.
Yeah, that sounds like Zeus.
I do say the artwork is killer though. I do like the artwork.
Oh, Philip Dan's doing an incredible job.
Definitely. The new retcon makes sense. There were female guardians. Zeus slept with one of the females and took the box. And then gave it to his guardians.
Eventually, for retaliation, the guardians created a giant Green Lantern to go, Zeus, why you took our box?
More than one box.
And how about you, Mew? What about your moments?
Oh... This was a really interesting arc because we got quite possibly one of the most interesting new characters in years with Agent Orange.
Right.
And then I just, whatever he does seems to be really out there. He's talking like he's out of a Dr. Seuss book with his food. He's jumping every chance for power. Definitely among my shockings was the killing of the controllers, because you gotta admit, it's pretty impressive to kill an immortal.
Yes.
Because it kind of defeats the purpose of immortality if you can die.
Hal did it.
True.
They have to be functionally immortal, where they don't age, they don't get sick, but they can be killed.
Right, and as they were saying when the arc was beginning, is, you know, they were dying out. It's like, how's an immortal dying out?
It's like the Highlander. They're chopping each other's heads off. There can only be one and getting their power.
The universe is rejecting them.
And that was definitely one of my most shocking moments. One of my favorite moments was just seeing the orange constructs in action. How they have their own will in a way.
Right.
How they're each acting out, and how even the Guardian's power can't really affect the orange light. It's like their powers they don't work well. The orange light doesn't really affect the green light doesn't really affect the orange light. But then that makes me think, what would happen if Ganthet was there with this blue light? Would he have just been tearing them to hell?
Yeah, you have a point.
You'd be blowing their heads off.
Yeah, you know, and Sad would be bitch slapping them all. It would be all good.
Oh, John did say that, you know, each light had a different reaction towards another.
Right.
Hope seems to be the omnibus light. It affects everything.
Hope negates anger. Hope also negates greed. Green willpower does nothing.
What will it do to Indigo?
Because it powers up green, it weakens yellow, it affects orange in a way, it weakens red, but it can't work on its own.
Right.
It's kind of complex.
It's the monkey's paw.
Damn, wishing on a monkey.
Homer.
$1 million, and then get run over by a stampede. But with my disappointment moment, I was kind of disappointed with the parallax in the box thing. But when I started to think about it, it was kind of interesting to where they could take that. You can make the obvious jokes like, oh, they just wanted to lose it in their closet so no one find it or something. But then you can get the reference to Pandora, and then you can get the connection between the Greek gods and the Owens, and you wonder, like, what kind of connection do the Owens have to the long-lived gods across the universe?
Right.
Something like that really starts making you think. And also, pretty shocking moment was Hal getting his hand chopped off, because I really didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
So now he...
Somewhere so Baduka is laughing.
We're almost even. This makes you wonder how he's going to get back. Is he going to surgically reattach it? Or is he just going to like make an energy one or something?
I hope they graft an alien's arm onto it.
Well, it can't be like Polar Boy. We can make a new arm out of ice and put your Legion ring on it.
With Hal, he could just he could chop off Ancient Orange ring hand and use his ring, and that's where he gets the image of him as an Orange Lantern, because he chops off the ring hand and takes it.
That would explain it.
Like, you take my hand, I take yours.
Yeah, you just hear spouting the line, an arm for an arm.
It's just, I'm wondering if this fight's going to go the route of Monty Python with the Black Knight. Hal's just going to keep getting limbs chopped off and keep trying to fight. Does a flesh wound.
I'm okay. And, Wes, how about your moments? Sorry.
I have to say that I'm a little disappointed in the art. I've got this really bad feeling that they're rushing Tan, and it's not as good as it could be. I was expecting a lot more of splash pages. I love the design that Agent Orange has had throughout these issues, but it's something off about the art. It's not particularly with John. It's just something about his face that's just not looking too well. And as for shocking moments, clearly the hand was the biggest moment for me. I just don't see how he gets past that without so much debate. I'm still hoping that it's a dream sequence or something. But,
it's a drug hallucination.
Right.
Yeah, I'm thinking Agent Orange is just hoping that his hand just got chopped off. But other than that, I wasn't too shocked other than the hand. Best moment was probably seeing John back in Green Lantern.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a good moment for me.
Two in the arc.
Probably about five since the relaunch.
Feels like five issues since we've seen John.
It's
and
been
then when
a long
we do
time.
See him, what did we see next to him? Fatality.
This is finally gonna get well.
Have you ever been in love, John?
Just beating over the head with it, isn't it? Just beating over the head.
I think on the art, really, he just needed a better inker and colorist to work with him together, because it seems like some of the detail was lost from his pencils to his inks.
Yeah, I noticed that too, because his artwork that he was posting in on Comic Block was more detailed, and the inks were like, what is this?
Is this not the same guy from Revelations?
It's the same guy. It looks like it's rushed.
Somebody's having a bad couple of months.
I know the feeling. All right. Well, let's move over to Emerald Equips now for our favorite, you know, least favorite and shocking moments. I will go good once more. Favorite moment was Mongol's disembodied hand, you know, defeating the many armies of Daxum during Emerald Equips. That was great. Draw shocking moments, I'm going to have to say, was the end of a recent issue where Scar imprisoned Lestra Drak in the Book of Black, which was just a shocking moment, not to mention cracking open Oa's protective shield. I mean, wow, that kind of got me. Least favorite, I wasn't too thrilled by Saranic Natu's origin. I mean, we kind of saw, you know, Sinestro being her father about a mile away, and the origin wasn't bad, but it really kind of left me wanting more. And of course, he just leaves Ioland, you know, just beating her to death in front of his daughter while he can just clamp her ring with his yellow ring. And at no point can she, you know, stop her father. It's just, it didn't work as well as it should have been. What about you, West?
I have to agree that that Sinestro Natu thing was just, it was like beating the dead horse. Like, we saw it coming, and partially because we talk about it a lot, but we saw it coming from, like, years away. And the tattoo thing on the face, how did she not wake up?
Oh, I agree. That was just, I mean, they like, there's a point she has her tattoos. Well, that's the point?
He might have sedated her. The rings can do a lot of effects, including altering chemical substances.
I know, but she wouldn't at one moment just say, whoa, how wasted was I last night to get these tattoos that I've never seen before in my life?
She might have.
She doesn't question it.
She might have the point as we didn't see the scene. It could have happened, we just don't know it did.
We should have seen the scene.
There was room for it.
Yeah. We could have took that little creepy picture with him taking her graduation picture out of there. We could have took that panel and got the grounding of Natsu for getting tattoos on her face panel. That would have been great.
Right.
But that was probably the worst moment. Best moment, definitely Scar. I love the black blood or whatever coming out of her eyes and everything. Love that. I think Patrick Gleason can draw creepy like no other.
You get that right.
I'm not too particularly fond of everything else he's drawing, though, unfortunately. No disrespect to Gleason, but there's something about his Kyle that just gets worse and worse each issue. It's like before he goes into battle, he's got to dump water all over his hair and slick it back. It's just not working for me.
Happy days are here again.
Do you want Green Lantern Corps on time or not?
I thought about that. I said this is probably one of the only DC artists that comes out regularly on time, consistently. I think he's missed maybe one issue, but he's been thorough. So I'll take on time over bad art, but I won't call it bad. Just
rough.
Inconsistent. Rough. There you go.
All right. What about you, there, Mew?
Best, worst, and most shocking. Well, best, I'd have to say, was the final development of Soda Miat from 2D cardboard piece of paper to something depthful. Because, frankly, for a while there, he was not doing anything. Yes. He was just sitting in the background posing like a classic Superman image from the 40s.
As the cover, of course, showed from the back.
One of the lanterns would just grab the cardboard cutout of Ion to scare off their enemies.
Why is he not moving? He doesn't need to move.
He's off in Guy's bar just having a drink while everyone else is trying to fight. But yeah, the real change from... He had some moments, but they were just so rare early on. From Sinestro Corps on, it was just like rare little bits of development. But then here we got a whole truckload. Especially going all the way on to his very surprising sacrifice, well, maybe sacrifice, in order to ignite the sun. Who knows, maybe he burns out his lead poisoning.
Well, they're kind of running that with Mon-El right now in the Superman book, so anything's possible.
But then, like, if he does survive, which it seems to be because of the Legion of Three Worlds, what are the repercussions of that? What did he sacrifice to do this epic run in the sun thing?
His hair.
There we go.
That's what happened to his hair. He deep fried it.
That's why he has the mohawk in the 31st century.
For the next few issues, they stay back from him because of the smell.
Don't worry, I'm full of Play-Doh. Let me fix my hair right up.
If he just comes out of this even more powerful due to directly changing the sun, that's just going to be like...
Right.
Yeah.
I want to see him have some, you know, form of punishment for this, some accident or something.
Right. And it can't be Scar. Scar's punishing everybody.
Maybe he can be even weaker due to this, and more. His powers are naturally weakened after this or something.
I doubt his repercussions will be more of a physical base, more of a emotional base, like always.
Father, why do you not kiss and hug me?
No, not even that. It's more of the...
What does mommy do with the meat man?
it's his damn planet.
He doesn't like the planet.
No, he doesn't.
And yet he gave the planet the keys to the kingdom.
He's got emotional problems. But on to more shocking moments. It was definitely a lot of that with Scar. I mean, she shoved Lisa Drax into a book.
Yes.
Basically turned her into ink.
Yeah.
That's an impressive power. It's like Super Tattoo Man. He turns you into him. Now, that should be a power Tattoo Man has. He should be able to turn you into ink and put you on people. An eternal trap.
Right.
That was definitely one of the more shocking moments in the cracking of the surface. And while I did like some of the development with the Natu thing and Sinestro, I do agree about the whole tattoo thing. It's like, at some point, you're just kind of forcing it along. It's like, that's just too much coincidence.
Right.
I mean, at this point, it's not beating the dead horse. At this point, Black Hand is just dry humping the dead horse.
Oh, God.
Oh, you saw him licking the skull.
I know. I wasn't going there tonight.
Does he even buy it a drink?
Oh, jeez. That's a cheap trick right there.
He's probably got like some kind of weird thing going on with his undead. I mean, what's he gonna do when they come back as Black Lanterns? That's the really scary part.
He's gonna try to hit on him.
Oh yeah, come on.
I mean, after seeing the Titans cover, I don't even want to know what he's gonna do with them, considering what he's into.
I can just see him with his like open shirt coming down the walkway with his cologne, going, "Hey, how you doing, Pa Kent? You want to go to a bar?"
I'll show you how to fertilize a field.
Like, woo! Oh. I just want to touch you.
Well, let's go with the Lois and Clark origin. Every time I said no to him, he went and plowed another field.
Oh, God.
90s flashback. It's 90s night on the podcast, everybody. Dean Cain is smiling somewhere. He's like, "They remember me. They remember me."
A mind fuck falls shortly after a skull fuck.
Oh, any more moments there, Mew?
Oh, I'll be sure to think of something in the coming podcast. I gotta save up some stuff for the weeklies.
Oh yeah, of course.
And
by
itself.
Okay, Ray, how about you?
You guys write stuff?
I'm spontaneous. It comes to me randomly. I'm crazy.
That's why you feel so well in for Kuhan.
Let me think. Most shocking moment.
Most shocking.
Damn it, Ev. Cannot think of one. I mean, Emerald Eclipse has been good for me. I mean, I like it a lot more than I do the regular title. But I can't think of anything that shocked me during the arc.
Okay.
I mean, the whole, you know, again, if we all are on agreement with the whole, you know, Sinestro being Natu's father thing, we all saw it coming. We all sort of went when it was introduced.
Right.
You weren't surprised when Lisa Drax got shoved into a book?
No.
You had a lot of expectations.
Yeah, I was not totally surprised when she was shoved into a book. When she goes, "Oh my God, I found a new book." Apparently, it's black. I have no idea how no one else has found this book in this room that apparently I found.
Her ring's like, "Oh, I can't find you the Book of Parallax, but hey, here's this other book."
It would have been funny. It would have been more messed up if she just slammed the book into her face like split her neck.
Book end, Lissa Drack.
I do love that he was like, "Hey, you like power, huh? Face."
Hey, you'd get a new bookmark and a new paperweight.
Oh.
Cutting.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
We know you will. You have nowhere else to be.
It wasn't the whole everybody doing their thing to defeat the freaking riot, the whole prison break thing was Kanjuro was offered asylum in some way. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I had to agree. I was like, "Oh, come on. No, come on. They wouldn't even give one to Despero. You're kidding me. They're going to give Kanjuro because I was voiced by Rene Rabjewar on Justice League. Remember? I'm Odo."
And then, going back to Phyllis Diller, it was, you know.
Oh, okay.
She was a bang-up gal when she like started coughing all over the place.
And crying, and it came out of her ears. It was just like, I don't know how Scar's going to be in One Piece by Blackest Night 1. It'll just be like this cape and be like, "Why is she not moving?" She can't.
She's probably already dead.
Yeah, Yeah, she's more than like just being animated by the whatever black entity that's inside of her at the moment.
Right.
You see, like little puppet strings in the air, and they're yanking her along. Why is she dragging across the ground?
Oh man, it's just like the.
Don't worry about it. I said she's been doing it all week. Apparently, that's her new thing.
You get a tangled knot. She goes doing backflips.
Just like a soap opera writer.
Yeah, and then you know the whole Daxum story arc. You know, I just don't know.
I don't think any of us do until like for another 3 weeks.
I love the exploding high five with, you know, Mongol's arm. You know,
she didn't.
But his takeover, his whole rule, his whole, I'm just going to be like here, taking over this planet, and apparently I have no other plans outside of this at the moment. See, it's all very staged. I'm sorry, it's all very staged.
He doesn't live up to his father in intelligence.
No.
And then Saddam Yat doing nothing but yelling at everybody, going like, "How dare you be single-minded? How dare you be fucking stupid and throw yourself off the cliff? How dare you be my father?" And then he kills a giant snake and blows up a sun.
Right.
And then I'm supposed to think, "Oh my God, his character's amazing."
No. He's Primus.
He's
a suicide bomber.
Yeah, I think you have issues. I think you have issues, Saddam. Yeah, you're blowing up a sun to try to console your planet is not one of them. And then you hand over the powers of semi Superman to a bunch of alien hating freaking bastards. Yeah.
You turn the clan into Kryptonians.
Right.
Oh, God.
We already have new Krypton.
Yeah, we have new Krypton. Now we have Daxum slightly new.
New Krypton's just a... New Krypton's the Nazis, and they're the clan members.
Right.
Space just got more racist.
Oh.
What happens if they team up and get super clan members, super Nazis flying around zapping?
It's gonna be the greatest war of all time.
Forget the blackest night and war of light.
Now we must inject Batman with the Super Soldier Serum.
Captain Batman.
Oh God. Okay. Wow, boy, I can't wait until we review this in a couple weeks for the conclusion. Boy, we're going to have a field day. What you haven't heard now, folks? Yeah, this is nothing. We can't hold Ray back. He's got the red ring ready to come out.
And the bodies are piling up.
All right.
Slightly enraged.
Slightly. Okay.
Somewhat
all right.
Biffed.
Okay, moving away from our moments here, we're going to talk a little bit about the Blackest Night, more like the Black Lanterns. The DC blog has recently released a preview splash from Green Lantern 43 by Doug Monkey, which is absolutely incredible artwork, showing more and more of the dead Black Lanterns that are going to be rising. And I'm going to just name off who we know so far. Of course, Alex Luthor, you know, who was killed in Infinite Crisis, Al Pratt, the original Adam, Arthur Curry, Aquaman, Black Condor, Buzzed, whatever you want to call him, Chip, Deadman, well, no, not Deadman as in the character we know, his body, Dr. Light, Extant, Phantera, Firestorm, Ronnie Raymond, Gallius Zedd, the original Captain Boomerang, Jack Drake and his dead wife, Jack T. Chance, Jade, Jean Loring, John Grayson, Kal-El from Earth 2, Katman Tui, Kihan, Martian Manhunter, Mary Grayson, who I said earlier, Maxwell Lord, Panthra, Psycho Pirate, which is probably one of the coolest Ethan Van Sciver redesigns for Black Lantern I've seen in years, the original Question, Wes is going to groan right now, Robert Long, Ray Lincoln, the original Human Bomb, Solomon Grundy, which is shocking, Ted Kord, Tara, Tula, Wesley Dodds, and Wilder Beast, as well as Jonathan Kent, and a host of others. So pretty much, everybody who's ever died in the DC Universe apparently in the last 40 years is going to be a Black Lantern. So I have nothing to add to it because it's kind of obvious right there. I know Wes wants to voice his question opinion. So Wes, go right ahead. Let it out.
What the fuck? '52 was not that long ago. The man died a very nice death. Nate Montoya hasn't even gotten one fucking issue, and here we are fucking her over. My God. Seriously.
This is the same company that had Superman Prime vaporize a pregnant woman with heat vision. What do you expect?
I just don't know what to think. Like, come on. Like, there are millions of dead characters that you have killed off in the last 10 years. And you choose the question? Leave him alone. This is the one guy you need to leave alone.
Leave the question alone. Leave the question alone.
Let Vic be. Renee Montoya can't even get a whole issue. She's got 8 pages coming out next month. 8, that's it. And you're already fucking her over.
They're desecrating the original Superman. What holiness does happen to anyone else? There's no one more revered, and he's getting screwed.
Right.
Sad, sad day for anybody who's ever read Renee Montoya. It's just, it's sad. I'm excited. I can't wait to see all these zombies, except for Vic Sage. That's the one guy I did not expect to see, and now I'm just a little bit mad. Just a little bit.
And he'll probably have his orange socks with him.
They'll be faded by then.
Alright, what about you, Ray?
I am totally excited to see Big Steve. I just want to see him there with his jacket, with his trench coat and his hat, looking at my toe, going, what you doing, huh? What you think it's my job? I apparently became more popular than all of you in the last 4 years.
I'm getting a picture deal. Oh, God.
It's fantastic. I can't wait for this. I can't wait for the zombies to run amok, for people to say, aren't you supposed to be dead and such, and the elaborate questions of why, and black rings apparently do something that I don't know yet. Can't wait.
All right. Oh, Kuhan got in. We'll chime in a little bit. You, what about you?
Tell him no.
He's late for the party. We're almost done.
I'm just waiting for zombie.
Yeah, Andrew's on too.
I'm just waiting for zombie Aquaman to summon some zombie fish and then discover that they can't do anything but flop on the ground.
Pathetic. He should totally bring back his dead mother.
Oh.
dead zombie dolphin mother.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
They should bring back, like, some of those, like, weird mythological creatures. A zombie minotaur or something.
They're all questioning Wonder Woman. Like, why'd you kill me?
You want to get real messed up, like, bring back one of the dead gods just to screw with their mind. You didn't worship me enough. I'm dead because of you. You're going to hell, too, because you screwed me over.
All right. Okay. Right.
All right. I also want to see Maxwell Lord come back with his head on backwards, like it was with the snaps walking around.
Well, we got Psycho Pirate missing part of mostly his head. So yeah. Where is everybody? Fear my power. Where is everybody?
It was like a Mortal Kombat Armageddon, I think it was. Or Deception, one of the entering trailers.
Right.
So, like, zombie Liu Kang come up with his head tilted on the side. He just, like, rips it up front. This nasty crack.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's a good way to strike fear into the person who kills you.
Right.
Have your head back in a position and start charging him with hook claws.
Kuan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yay!
He's a Black Lantern. He's back.
The god, it's been ages.
Ah, guys, you were a little late to the party there.
Late, I got up.
I didn't even realize it was today. I just got home, like, 10 minutes ago.
Oh, wow. Andrew, what happened? You took a nap?
Oh, man, I get off the same time every day from work. I told you guys.
Oh.
We must have mixed up.
We must have got the times mixed up.
Stupid times, yeah. Though.
Nice going, Ryan.
Yeah, I know, Andrew. You can beat me later. So, since we got Kuhan and Andrew with us, say hi, guys.
Hey, what's up?
Hi.
Well, we reviewed our favorite shocking and lovable moments from Emerald Eclipse and Agent Orange so far, and we were just talking about our reactions to the Black Lantern Corps, which, you know, Wes, wait until you hear the final version. I think Wes will be the best reaction. So, guys, why don't you share us yourselves there, your favorite moments from Agent Orange and Emerald Eclipse, shocking, favorite, and least favorite. We'll start with you, Andrew, since I've pissed you off the most.
Oh, I listen to the show.
Off the top of my head.
I tried listening to listening today. It was horrible.
You can go now.
And now we've got two class clowns.
Just go ahead and put your head down.
I think I'm fired.
We'll leave your severance pay on the door.
Lint in a lantern ring.
You get cold.
Nobody let Andrew talk.
Okay, let's let Andrew go.
Off the top of my head, the things that have elicited the biggest reactions out of me, Agent Orange probably, the controller thing. I mean, I saw it coming a mile away that they'd be pretty much wrangled up and executed like that, but I don't know. It was still kind of angering on some level, but I'm sure there's still some somewhere still alive. Beyond that, Hal becoming a Blue Lantern was kind of, or a hybrid rather, was kind of not entirely unforeseen. I don't really have any strong feelings on it either way. We'll see where that goes now. With his hand chopped off, which is also another thing. I mean, we already know that the blue rings can regenerate a heart and can regenerate blood. It's not a huge leap to assume that they could probably regenerate, you know, either a new hand from a stump or reattach the existing hand. I don't know. That's about it from Agent Orange. I mean, it's mostly just exposition and a lot of fantastic art.
It's set up resolution.
Set up and resolution.
Set up and resolution.
A little light on the resolution part, but yeah.
But more set up than resolution.
Do you want me to go into Emerald?
Your moments there from Emerald Eclipse too.
I think I've already touched on some of them in previous podcasts, but I obviously really love the Natu Kyle thing. I think that's fantastic. I think that's
goes without saying.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean it's. I think they make a great couple. I mean, it's. I don't want to say that the best Kyle stories are ones where he's in love, but it seems that brings out the best in the character when he's got maybe not so much a woman in a relationship to play off of, but someone there to kind of act as a counterpoint to him in some way. And I think that tends to bring out the best in him. And obviously, with her helping him with his creative endeavors with the little the hall that he's painting and shit like that. I mean, that's. That's what he should be doing. I mean, when they had him pack up and leave Earth, I thought, well, we're pretty much not going to see that ever again, at least for the foreseeable future. And this arc has pretty much reeled things back and made me go, oh, maybe they can do something now. Maybe they can, to some degree. I mean, it is an ensemble cast book, and there's only so much they can do, so much space they can allot. But I think they're doing a hell of a job. I think I think Gleason's doing a bang up job on the art. I think Tomasi's at times quite brilliant. I love the storytelling. Can't wait to see where it goes next. I think in many ways this is above the flagship Green Lantern title and continues to be.
All right. And what do you think so far of the Black Lantern Corps members?
I mean, it's we know that pretty much everyone is going to be a Black Lantern. I mean, about the ones they've announced so far that we've actually seen, I think Earth 2 Superman is going to be pretty badass. I just wish that we knew... You know, I wish we knew what's really driving them. I mean, how much of them is really going to be there in their head and how much is going to be kind of mandated by whatever higher power is guiding them, you know? I mean, if they're really them in the head, I mean, what are they after? I mean, do they just want to suck our blood? Or that's what I wonder about. But I like Earth 2 Superman. Like Firestorm. Firestorm looks badass.
Oh, yeah.
Creepy as all hell.
Him and Psycho Pirate are so far my favorite designs.
Yeah, Psycho Pirate with his dangling eyeball and his head. That's badass. Which kind of begs an interesting question. I mean, what about the people that were incinerated and stuff that didn't leave behind a body get to come back with pretty much a whole body, but the guys that just had like a hole in their head, they still get the hole in their head? It's kind of opens up a weird can of worms. I'd like to... What's that?
It's probably got limitations.
Especially disbelief.
Yeah.
There's probably a certain amount of energy that they can expend, and the ones that completely lost their bodies need it, but the ones that just have missing bits don't.
Maybe that's what it is.
I would say it's one of those...
It was only a weakened...
What, Ray?
I say power of the mind type thing. You know, how you would... How you yourself would picture yourself.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, they say people go to heaven, if you believe in that sort of thing, then you kind of... You take the form of yourself in your mind's eye. That makes some sense.
Again. Yeah. I'm sorry, Kuhan, what was that? Like Blue,
you wake up as a...
Someone like Blue Beetle is missing his mind, so what's going to go on there?
His goggles.
Not too big on the Aquaman. To be honest, it seems like kind of a lazy design. I mean, it's just...
He should have had the squid face.
It's literally just Aquaman with a few zombie lines and shit.
And his hand back.
Aquaman's with a new belt buckle.
Yeah, with a new belt buckle. I have to ask, I mean, obviously Ethan Van Sciver is designing all this stuff, but who is, in the story, who's designing all this shit? I mean, there's got to be some kind of designer, you know, dreaming up like, oh, I know, I like Storm costume, but, you know...
They've got their own tailors and stuff.
If we turn it 90 degrees this way and tilt...
Today in Vogue.
There's probably a dead tailor somewhere that's doing all their designs.
There must be.
There has to be. It's Gambi's great great grandfather from Flash.
The aesthetics are so perfect.
No. I tell you, the skull cap works perfect with a skull face, Ronnie. I'm not kidding.
You know, Firestorm could do the costumes with his atomic rearranging.
Yeah, well, that explains everything.
Which also raises another question. I mean, do these guys still have their old superpowers plus the Black Ring? And what superpowers does the Black Ring really have? Those are other questions I would pose.
Maybe it's like an instant death touch or something.
Could be.
It is. Technically, they're powered by the anti-monitor, and no matter how weakened he is, that's still a massive anti-energy. Wouldn't it just destroy any positive matter it comes in contact with?
Yeah, there's that, isn't there?
Yeah.
So it's basically everyone's got a wave of Darkseid's Omega effect just to wipe them from existence.
I mean, they're being powered by death, which is kind of the opposite of life, and then you have antimatter, which is the opposite of matter. I don't know, somewhere Jeff does the math, makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Put some splash pages in there, make it good.
Cool. Anti-equation.
Right. So, Kuhan, what about you?
He has no shocking moments.
So since I'm about an issue behind, maybe two, my most shocking moment so far is that Agent Orange is very tall. I thought he'd be like 6'7", 6'8", maybe, tops. More like 6'3", 6'4", but no, he's extremely tall. Blew my mind. He's just like,
is he your type?
It had this like was, superhero, supervillain personal.
He was tall, but not big.
No. He's thin and lanky, but he's nice and tall. It's going to a weird place.
Tonight on Green Lantern Spotlight Blind Date.
Oh. Well, counting.
Wow.
This is the worst porn music ever.
Oh, yeah. So, anywho, and what about Emerald Eclipse?
Okay, that kind of... That was a bit of a tangent.
Only a bit.
Burning daylight.
I forget what's happening in that. And my issues are too far away. I'll get back to you on that one. Hold on, wait. Ah, here it is. Green Lantern Corps 35.
Jesus.
Wow. The
last one I saw.
Sort for shit.
Let's sit here while he reads it.
What happened? I don't think I read this issue. I had it sitting there, I never read it.
Oh, God.
I got it on Free Comic Book Day along with Green Lantern 39 so I can get extra free comic books.
Well, that works.
We need to start a donation fund for him.
Dude, we really do. I don't have enough money. Okay, let's see. The shock of a lifetime that Sora Nikneitu is Sinestro's daughter. Oh my God, big shocker.
No one saw that coming from a pile
away. Nobody's coming. Yeah. Nobody.
If you look at the poll on the board, it was about a perfect three-way split between someone we haven't seen before, Katma, Tui, or Neitu.
Yeah, but that was just wishful thinking.
Yeah.
Someone we haven't seen before, that was wishful thinking. And Katma Tui was kind of unfeasible.
Not necessarily.
Can't protect your corpse.
There could always be some sort of story where Sinestro secreted away her body and she wasn't dead.
What would atrocious
have done to her body?
Okay, can I talk about creepiness?
Another,
like right at the beginning of Green Lantern 35, where just people ripping each other to shreds.
Right.
That's war.
Yeah, it is. And then more ripping each other to shreds. Oh, look, Sinestro person. Then Green Lantern stuff happening. Oh, big two-page spread of Green Lanterns coming in to save the day. Arisia and Sodom, a lot of red. I think we're on Daxam now.
Your review sucks.
You know what? You know, if I did an entire episode of just this, people would listen and they'd be like, this is awesome. just a dude flipping through his comic book.
We'll call it the True Comic Book Reviewer Podcast.
Okay, what is... Oh, this is weird. Okay, they're on Daxam right now, right? And there's a scene where Sodom's talking to his father?
Yeah, his father.
Yeah. And they're walking, and it's showing his father and Sodom, but it looks like it's one person. So this has got, like, a super creepy face. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Somebody dropped the ball in the art there. it was, I'm going to call you out on this. Gleason?
Yeah.
He is never going to know him.
No, Gleason's never going to be on here. And he said he loved my blog last year.
We drive everyone away.
It's going to be awesome. Just drive everyone away. Nobody's ever going to be a guest on this podcast anymore.
I mean, if you guys look at his pencils are phenomenal. I mean, if anyone, I blame the inkers as far as...
And the colors.
I think it's even like people. I mean, it's so detailed. It takes a certain kind of really bring them to life. Some kind of feedback loop.
It must have been. Does it make sense?
It's magic. There's magical carries in our computer boxes. Screw with our computers, man.
Is your computer Windows Vista?
No, I'm on Leopard.
Actually, mine is, and mine works fine, so.
So anywho, Kuhan, when you're running for reviews on Green Lantern Corps, besides the art sucking, and
oh no, I'm just gonna go. This is gonna be my reviews. I'm gonna be reading through the issue and talking about it. It'll be awesome. I'm gonna do an entire show with just that.
The comic review of awesomeness.
Hey, it's got a nice little ring to it.
And we won't get sued by Daisen Chui X.
Yes, he stole the idea of the name.
Ass.
He won't care. They thought of that name on the fly anyway.
Right.
They weren't even planning to call it that. Of course, nobody knows what we're talking about.
Exactly.
You guys can leave. It's just I'm just gonna talk to the internet now.
We're multicultural geeks.
Of course. I talk about everything, man.
Dragon Ball is not culture.
It is a way of life.
Dragon Ball is the culture in Japan.
Well, that's true.
Over there, you can't not know it.
He's like their Superman. Goku is the Japanese Superman.
Right, and Vegeta is Batman.
Wait, what? I don't think that
Batman
works.
Batman taking over the trying to take over the world, blowing up planets.
Exactly. I'm not sure.
That's a fun Batman.
That would be awesome. Somebody should write that Batman story. West, I call upon you.
Super.
This podcast forever. Write that Batman story, and then you can come back. You don't get to be on this podcast until your Batman story gets published.
Well, we need to hear Wes's wonderful, you know, talkings when, you know, the original question turns into a Black Lantern.
Bring that up again.
No.
I'm still wondering. Can you explain what Final Crisis is about? I'm still not clear.
I was about to get to that. That story could be co-written with Grant Morrison, and nobody would understand it except for West.
He's about to sell his copy to Mephisto to get rid of us.
Wes knows I'm on his side.
We should do that. Oh my god, no. We should totally have like a sub-podcast where West explains Grant Morrison.
You can do
that's
it.
Like someone,
can...
That's someone's doctoral thesis to get through college.
Oh, it's called Read the Story. That's what it's called.
2,000 pages.
Boom.
Charts.
Booyah.
Which Black Lanterns are you looking forward to there, Kuhan?
I'm looking forward to the Black Beetle.
Ooh. See, there already is a Black Beetle.
Well, the Black Blue Beetle, I don't know.
The Black and Blue Beetle.
Poor abused.
the extra Black Beetle.
Extra Black.
That's racist.
That is very racist.
We have West. Nothing we can say is racist because he's black. If we have a black guy on the podcast, then we can be racist as we want.
We got enough cred.
I can say whatever I want. My president's black.
That's how we do on the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast.
West is like our Winston.
Oh.
He's our racial liaison.
Yes.
Then who's Vinkman?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Ooh, dibs. I'm going to be Vinkman.
I'll be Ryan. Because
you're the heart.
Yeah, that's it. I'm getting possessed by giant, you know, Carpathians and paintings, you know.
Andrew,
Captain Planet would have been a lot more better if Monty could just summon demons to possess people with his heart power.
Andrew can be Egon. And Mew can be Rick Moranis.
Oh, Lewis.
Oh.
Sully.
Then does that make Ray Janine?
I'm officially Dark Helmet. The Schwartz.
A little Parcheesi.
I just rewatched that movie.
Good fucking movie.
It is. It's a fantastic movie.
I'm in the middle of that Ghostbusters game. It's phenomenal. It's awesome.
I heard it was awesome. I didn't.
Literally.
I am so pissed off at the Wii version, though.
Oh, it's not a good game.
I don't have the right system to play the game, so.
Apparently the best version is the Xbox 360 version.
My brother's friend got it. It was just, wow, beautiful.
The most recent system I have is a Nintendo DS.
And then DSi?
No, not even a DSi. I got the DS Lite. And then I got a PlayStation 2 and a Sega Genesis.
Ultra Beast.
I used to put Sonic and Knuckles in there and then open it up and put the Sonic 2 cartridge in there and play Sonic 2 as Knuckles. It's awesome.
Oh, you did the glitch.
Yeah.
That's not a glitch.
That was the commercials. They said, you know, you can play as Knuckles in all three. Like a Game Genie, but it puts Knuckles in everything.
You know, and a funny thing, those old Game Genie commercials from the early 90s with the blonde guy? Yeah, I went to high school with him.
With the what guy?
There was this blonde guy. He did the in front of like a concert audience about the Game Genie. It was back in 94. Yeah, I went to high school with that guy. I know. That's why starting next week we'll be doing this year in Green Lantern history.
It would be funny if he said, I beat that guy up in high school.
I stuffed that guy in a locker.
Well, if you make it feel better, he's an alcoholic now and about 40 pounds overweight.
Shit.
Beat up the kid from The Wizard who had the power glove. It's so bad.
I have to see that movie.
It's a great movie, actually.
It's like,
yeah,
I
warn you.
When I was a kid, I wanted to see it so bad, but it was like, it wasn't ever on TV, on Cinemax, HBO, Showtime, and it was never to be found in any video stores. I didn't have any means to have it.
I have the kid from Charlie and the Chocolate.
What is it? I don't care to see it.
No, it's so funny, too, because The Wizard made about $80 million.
It was mainly
that
just
much?
A game advertisement.
Yeah, back in 89.
What the hell is The Wizard?
It was basically a movie designed to promote Super Mario Brothers 3.
Yeah.
With the power glove.
With Fred Savage.
Yeah, in the lead.
Was that with the three kids?
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, they came on TV the other week.
Oh, it was?
I didn't know that.
I saw it.
And then they tried to promote Super Mario Brothers movie. It worked out so well.
Yeah. Now we are the Nintendo podcast.
Of course.
We're the random podcast at this point.
We just came on to fill a few minutes in. Look what happened.
We should do a podcast about nothing.
This just sets us up for the next blooper cast.
Yeah, pretty much.
We should probably chop most of this out and make another thing with it.
Yeah, I think I was going to get a start on it, actually.
The special edition, the rant podcast.
That's what it'll call. We'll call it the rant podcast. Forget the blooper reel.
The rant podcast.
Ooh.
But we didn't talk about it in Broadway music.
This is the Tonys?
I thought it was Spider-Man the Musical.
Thieves, whatever.
All right. Well, so, anywho, that's going to do it for the Green Lantern Spotlight podcast. If you'd like to send us any reviews, love mail, hate mail, or wonder what Kuhan's doing secretly at night, email us at glspotlight.com. The glspotlight at...
Oh, wait. That would be pedophilia, because I'm 16. If you want to send love letters to West, that's totally okay.
Right.
Pedophilia if you're not under 13 or under puberty.
No, it's pedophilia if you're a minor.
Yeah.
Ask R. Kelly.
Ask R. Kelly. Anywho, you can email us at the glspotlight@gmail.com. You also can find us at the greenlanterncore.com. It's www.thegreenlanterncore.com under the forums. We're usually always there. You can send us your love or hate, whichever. Well, coming up here, we will be starting a weekly podcast to get ready for the Blackest Night event. It'll be nice, hopefully, one-hour podcast, which we'll be doing weekly with a week or so in between storylines. You guys got any shout outs you want to do tonight? Andrew?
No, just make sure you stop by www.greenlanterncore.com. Pay us a visit. Happy to have you. Happy to see you.
And Wes, what about your public announcing you're willing to do?
Make sure you visit us on Twitter, twitter.com/GeoSpotlight. That's about it.
And
check
Mew.
Us out.
All right, Mew?
Actually, in certain states, the age of consent is actually 16, so... but that's besides the point. I don't know why I know that, so leave me alone.
I'll never tell.
But just go to all the sites they mention. I do nothing of any significance on the internet.
What about you, Kuhan?
I'm lazy.
You could follow my personal Twitter at twitter.com/Kuhan. I don't know who has more followers right now, me or West.
I got 35. Get at me.
I think I have like 32. Screw you.
I got 31. I'm below you all.
I have -5.
I also have a YouTube page, youtube.com/SSJKuhan. Totally check that out. Yeah. And I'm planning to start a podcast because my podcast sort of died, but I've got a podcast that we've got a couple episodes recorded. I just need to get it on the internet. So check that out when it comes out. It'll drop soon. It'll be called The Real View Mirror. Not Rear View, Real View. It's a pun.
I got it.
Rim shot.
It's a pun! Get it?
Ding! And I'll speak for Rainer 2814, who sadly had to leave us, but he's working hard.
He's in a better place.
Yes, he's working hard getting the new GL Spotlight up and running here, which will be hopefully coming up in the next couple weeks. So we'll have all that.
He'll be working.
Yeah, he's working right now. But
I'm so funny and witty.
That's why we have you here, and we get paid the big bucks.
I'm slapping my knee. Because it's a knee slapper.
That sounds disgusting.
Like you're as funny as an aneurysm.
Oh, all right.
But I am going to close, though, on a serious note, actually, for the Epilepsy Foundation for Illinois, actually. So if you guys can give me a minute here, please. Wednesday, July 1st, 2009 is going to be a devastating day for people with epilepsy in the state of Illinois, the day the state's FY 2010 budget goes into effect. And right now that budget contains no money for specialized epilepsy care services, such as KIND, currently being offered by Epilepsy Foundation affiliates across Illinois. The General Assembly had a chance to pass a comprehensive balanced budget as presented by Governor Pat Quinn before ending on their session on May 31st, and members of the Illinois Senate did not do that. So House members, however, voted against Governor's budget, choosing instead to punish those valuable members of society. In response to the House's inability to pass a possible budget, the Illinois Department of Health and Human Services was forced to implement a doomsday budget plan, which eliminates funding for a dozen of key social services, including those designated for the provision of medical, social, and support programs for the individual with epilepsy. The state's budget is balanced, but its social infrastructure is in peril, and people with epilepsy are going to suffer because of it. Starting July 1st, if funding is not restored to the state's budget, Epilepsy Foundation affiliates will be forced to begin implementing dramatic pay program cuts that would directly impact over 129,000 people with epilepsy in Illinois, but it may not be lost. Governor Quinlan's asking for members of the General Assembly to return to Springfield next week so that we can work with the House members in passing a budget which meets the state's obligations for these citizens. So right now it's only 42 of 118 House members voted in favor of the governor's budget. So we are asking for anyone, especially individuals with epilepsy services, to please contact their legislation or get word out to try to help turn this over. I currently have a friend, and my girlfriend also has epilepsy, and we are fighting to try to get the vote turned in their favor. So if anybody can help who's hearing this podcast, please email or contact their news affiliates, or if you live in Illinois, please contact your local legislation or senator. Thank you. And that's all I have, guys.
That was very deep for this podcast, especially when the subject matter is, yeah.
I said it.
These guys are such...
right.
From zombie superheroes to such a deep emotional issue as funding for medicine.
Right.
Big change.
Assless chaps. Epilepsy.
Right.
Green Lantern and Green Lantern Corps are property of DC Comics and do not reflect on the authenticity of this podcast. We'll see you next time on the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast. This is Ryan Reed.